Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, the one and only Tim Dennis. I actually paused for a moment as though I'd almost forgotten my name, Tim.
That'll happen. You're getting up there, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I'll even be getting up there more in another couple of weeks here as I turn the big 50-fow, Tim.
Yeah.
So we start off today's show with some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this bums me out, but Quantum Leap star Dean Stockwell has passed away at the age of 85.
Oh, no.
Yeah, beloved actor Dean Stockwell passed away on November 7th at the age of 85, according to Deadline. Stockwell passed away peacefully at home due to natural causes. He survived by his wife, Joy Stockwell, and two children, Austin and Sophie Stockwell. Born in 1936, Stockwell's career as an actor spanned over 70 years as he began working in the entertainment industry at the age of seven, appearing in classic films like Anchors Away. He was the little boy that was in that episode that Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly are helping throughout the entire movie. Just amazing. He's also been in Long Day's Journey into Night, Blue Velvet, Beverly Hills Cop 2, and David Lynch's Dune. He's nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor following his performance in Married to the Mob in 1988. And even though Stockwell appeared in dozens of films, series, and Broadway productions, again, he's most recognized for his role as Rear Admiral Albert Al Calavici in Quantum Leap. He also played a significant part in the revival of Battlestar Galactica, wherein he appeared as Brother Cavill. Following the success of these productions, Stockwell was known to make appearances at many science fiction conventions. He has been on many other notable TV programs and did voices on Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker. He was on the TV show JAG, The Manchurian Candidate, The Twilight Zone, and The Dunwich Horror. Stockwell won a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor for series, miniseries, or television film for his role in Quantum Leap. He retired from acting in 2015 due to a severe stroke, and he spent the following years making art, which he exhibited across the United States. I got a chance to bump into Dean Stockwell and, my mind just went completely blank on who played Sam.
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula. Mm-hmm. When I was at Dragon Con, the last Dragon Con I believe I was at, and I was down in the lobby doing something else, and I turned around and boom, the two of them were just standing in front of me. And it was, I loved Quantum Leap. Quantum Leap is one of my happy places. I just absolutely love the show. And truthfully, without Dean Stockwell's Al, I don't know that the show would have been the same.
Yeah, it wouldn't have. Yeah.
That direction, that empathy, that friendship that the two of them shared made that show. And I promise you, man, when I get back home next week, I'm going to sit down and start working my way through. I bought the entire series on DVD at like Walmart or Amazon or something for something stupid, ridiculous, like only $20, $25.
Hmm.
So I'm going to make my way through it. That is truly one of the best series out there. I posted today on Facebook, well, yesterday, by the time you guys are listening to this, and I said, I refuse to think of him as dead. Instead, I will just accept that Mr. Stockwell has stepped into the ultimate quantum leap accelerator and vanished. May his leaps be rewarding and full of adventure. What a bummer to start off the show with. Great show, man.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Quantum Leap?
I love Quantum Leap. Yeah, it was one of those timeless series that you could sit and watch over and over again. Yeah.
Well, some other news. Both Ireland trips now completely sold out.
Oh, wow.
Completely sold out. So I will be going to Ireland in June. I will be going to Scotland in, September, and then I'll be going back to Ireland in October. All three of those trips completely sold out. People are starving to get back into the world and see things again, and those trips sold out. However, Tim, stay tuned, because coming up in the next couple of weeks, there's some big news. A little trip I like to call Schrader's of the Lost Ark. Huh? How's that for a tease? Raiders of the Lost Ark, huh? So stay tuned. We've got some cool stuff coming up, some more trips for 2023 and beyond. So keep up with that. I do want to make a mention that I'm going to be out in Las Vegas here in December for the Las Vegas Para Unity Conference. There's still a few tickets available for that. I'll be there with the entire cast of Holzerfeld. Well, not the entire cast, but Cindy, Shane, and myself will be there. And there's a lot of other great events coming up. So check out darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com to see all the places that you'll be able to connect with us over the next year. All right, let's get to it. We've got a lot of news to cover today, Tim. A lot of news.
Well, I got two things before you get to news.
Yeah, go for
it. I'm stopping you right here, Mr. Schrader.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, one, by the time you hear this, it'll be a belated happy birthday wish, but yesterday was Chris Jericho's birthday, so happy birthday, Chris. There you go.
Happy birthday, boss.
There you go. And second, I'm going to post this on my social media. If you want, you can retweet or refollow or do whatever with it. But AEW is in Minneapolis this weekend. They're doing Rampage Friday at Target Center. They're doing their pay-per-view Full Gear Saturday. From Target Center. One of the wrestlers has an interesting, very interesting article about him that on a subject that we deal a lot with here on the show that has to do with depression. It also has to do a lot with substance abuse. And it's a very inspiring story. A lot about his struggles over 20, 25 years and what had happened that got him to AEW. And believe it or not, he was... once COVID hit, he was selling his wrestling boots. He was about a week away, I believe it was, from losing his house, and got the call from Cody Rhodes to show up at AEW and just appear on television, and got the job from there. And his name is Eddie Kingston. He'll be in town wrestling CM Punk on Saturday. So I'm going to post that, and it's, believe it or not, I actually shed a couple of tears reading the article. Even if you don't know Eddie, reading about his journey growing up in New York will bring you to tears. He still says, I still need my Zoloft. I still suffer from anxiety. I still have these issues, but I get through my day. And it's quite the inspirational article. So I'm going to repost on all my social media so you guys can get an idea of even a guy who gets to the top of his game, how he deals with every single day of his life, even in a state where he's feels like he's crushed, you know. So
I'll tell you what, we'll include that story on today's news as well. So if you go to darknessradio.com, click on the news tab, that story will be included. So for those of you looking for a pick me up, for those of you looking for some insight and not that you're going to read the misery of somebody else, but find the inspiration.
Right.
It's and how others pull themselves up and get back into the fight. This is a great article for you to check out.
It's a very inspiring story and it's inspiring in ways that you wouldn't believe. It's really cool. And it's weird how people come in and out of your life and they say just one thing that gets you back and up and going again. And there were mm-hmm. times in Eddie's life where it was just that one person and that one thing that kept him going. And you'll see when you read the article.
And that one thing was Darkness Radio. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, son of a bitch. Would have been a better story if it was.
Yeah, it would have been a great story. Yeah. But yeah. Unfortunately, no.
Well, let's go ahead and say it was because he's not listening anyway. So we're safe.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you. You're welcome. We are.
Yeah, you're welcome, Eddie.
Part of that inspiration, Eddie. What are we going to say? Yeah. All right, buddy. People keep asking me, oh, my God, Dave, with the Holzer files over. What is next? Should I cancel Discovery Plus? And I say to thee a hearty nay, friends, because coming up this month, Demon in the White House, a brand new shock doc that I'm a part of, the Seat of Power at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue may be the most haunted site in the world. In a new shock doc, Demon in the White House, launching Friday, November 26th on Discovery Plus, uncloaks the historic origins of the horror of two grieving first ladies. Did they unwittingly invite an evil presence with a malevolent agenda that may still torment America's presidents, as well as their families, visitors, and closest advisors? President Franklin Pierce and First Lady Jane Pierce lost their son Benjamin at age 11. President Abraham Lincoln and First Lady Mary Todd's son William died at the same age. Both children perished during their father's administration. The shock doc thriller opens archival papers, correspondence, diaries, all to document a timeline of supernatural events that unfolded after these grieving families sought solace in the fashionable new spiritualism and seance movement, and the potential catastrophic consequences that followed as new presidents and families moved into the White House over the past 150 years, guys. There has continued to be supernatural activity and strange happenings within the walls of this now famous residence. One of the presidents most vocal about paranormal activity was Harry Truman, who wrote several letters to family members explaining the disturbances. Historians count 9 separate occasions that he wrote about the ghost of the White House, and one said, "Sure shooting, the place is haunted." It's believed that renovating a building can stir up ghostly activity. When the White House was being gutted, Truman hired National Park Service photographer Abby Rowe to document this historic process. One ordinary photo shows a bulldozer and 3 men standing in a corner of the middle of the renovation. On the other side of the frame is a full figure that appears transparent. The 3 men standing at the same distance are obviously solid. Their shirts and ties are identifiable, and the other figure has no discernible articles of clothing. It's an enigmatic photo that may be the first documented ghost photo at the White House. So for centuries, spirits have reported being seen in the White House, heard, smelt, and felt. Demon in the White House aims to uncover if the presidential home is haunted by something dark, and if so, what it could possibly want. So for more information, keep listening to the show, and remember to check out the shock doc coming Friday, November 26th on Discovery Plus. I'm on it. Joshua P. Warren is on it. Jeff Belanger is on it. It's a great program, interesting story, lots of fascinating recreations, but it certainly gives you a different aspect and element of this. Plus, being able to see for yourself the diary and handwritten letters and correspondence that went back and forth talking about this, mm-hmm. It's amazing. So I'm very psyched, very excited to be a part of this, and that's coming out later on this month. That brings us, Mr. Dennis, to our first Audio Daily Double. Do thunderstorms affect paranormal activity? Ghosts and other types of paranormal activity have more in common than you would actually expect, especially when weather is concerned. We're going to hear now from paranormal investigator Mark Keyes as he explains the role thunderstorms may play in ghostly activities.
Ghosts and other kinds of paranormal activity have more in common with weather than you think.
There's a lot of people who witness hauntings, who have homes that they claim are haunted, who will tell us that when you have something such as a thunderstorm or a high-pressure front comes through, that they do have an increase in activity.
Mark Kies is a paranormal investigator with the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association.
We can use this to see if there's a temperature change after that kind of event happens.
He says that not only do investigators always carry thermometers to measure for temperature drops that could indicate ghostly manifestations, but that thunderstorms produce energy that plays a role in paranormal activity.
It seems to be shortly after a lightning storm that they do notice an increase.
Mark says paranormal beings need energy to manifest. Sometimes they pull that energy from an electrical current or batteries, which could explain flickering lights during hauntings. And sometimes they pull that energy out of the atmosphere.
You have a supercharged atmosphere when you do have lightning, and there is a lot more available energy in the air.
Energy spirits use to try to communicate with the living by haunting your house or attempting to communicate with psychic mediums.
Our psychic medium, and this seems to be pretty common with most mediums, will say that after a thunderstorm or if there's a moon cycle or different times of the year, that they are witnessing psychically a lot more activity.
For AccuWeather, I'm Monica Danielle.
The thunderstorms, storms, ghosts. I just thought I'd add a little ambiance with that sinister laugh, Tim.
That was nice, yeah.
Hey, I want to mention, I did watch a movie. I'm a little late to the game on this, I admit. I think maybe 4, 5, 6 months, but I watched The Tomorrow War. Have you seen that?
You know, I'll admit something to you between you, me, and the fence post. I took a look at the trailers for it, and at first I thought, I'm a little excited to see this, and then the more I saw the trailer, I went, I'm going to put it on the back burner, and then I just never got around to it.
Funny, I had that same feeling. I like Chris Pratt, not Platt, totally different guy.
Yeah.
I like Chris Pratt. I love sci-fi. I love all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that looks great. And then I just never tuned into it.
You know what it was? Is I think the more I looked at the trailer, I thought this has that maybe it's been in the refrigerator a day or two too long look to it. And you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's why I held off on it.
I will say this. I went into it with no expectations because, again, you know, you kind of lose that luster of big blockbuster when it doesn't, you know, open in theaters only and it's on HBO Max or something. You kind of forget the importance of some of these films. We're so used to a lot of movies that are just released to streaming as being probably B-level movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was part of my concern. But, you know, being stuck where I'm at for the last 2.5 months, it's been, you know, just kind of trial and error figuring out shows. And I've made my way through Community. I've made my way through Scrubs TV show. Those have been my go-to happy places while I've been stuck here alone in my room a lot of times. And I decided to pop it in and watch The Tomorrow War. It's Chris Pratt. It's, I believe, Amazon Prime,
yes.
Is the, the network for it.
Yep.
Man, I really enjoyed it. The concept is that like 30 years in our future, and it's like it's taking place in 2020, I want to say, but 30 years in our future, aliens have shown up and they've basically it's kind of the Terminator, but in reverse. You know how they come from the future to stop the past so that doesn't occur. Well, in this movie, the aliens have attacked, but they pretty much wiped out humanity. So they're coming back. The humans that are surviving coming back and taking us from now into the future to fight this war, the Tomorrow War. And I thought, okay, that's an interesting premise. It's a twist on things that we'd seen before, but it's well acted. It's an interesting story. It telegraphs some of the dynamics in advance. So there's a lot of foreshadowing and a lot of, oh, I knew that was coming. But I really enjoyed it. I would say out of 5 stars, 1 being it sucks, 5 being it's amazing. I would give this a solid 4, 4.25 stars.
Okay.
And I can't even tell you why I couldn't give it a 5-star. Maybe, again, because I felt like it needed to be on a big screen to really enjoy the dynamic of this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the movie's fault. Maybe it's also because I feel like it's kind of reusing other tropes.
Okay.
You know, the Independence Day, Terminator, you know, time travel tropes. But I thought it was inventive and an interesting way to do it. And I really enjoyed the movie. So I would say for any of you out there interested, go check it out. See it for yourself. Amazon Prime. It's a good, if you love time travel movies, if you like kind of those War of the Worlds movies, this is a really good, solid entry. And I don't see it being a franchise, because then that would kind of dismiss what this one movie was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was certainly enjoyable. So go check that out, The Tomorrow War. I also went and saw The Eternals.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. I've seen it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought, like Shang-Chi, it wasn't what I expected it to be as a Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
But as a standalone movie, if you just forget that it's part of the Marvel universe, which I kind of did with that and Shang-Chi, I've really enjoyed both movies. Eternals is a little bit more heady. I got to admit, I tried a couple of the comic books back in the day and never really liked it. Just something was missing for me. But the movie I thought was interesting. There was just the right amount of Marvel humor, but it wasn't Galaxy or Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, where it's kind of really light and fun through the whole thing. There's just a smattering of humorous moments, some action and adventure, and a quest. So for what it was, I enjoyed it. I will be interested to see how it plays into the bigger spectrum of the Marvel universe as things progress.
Mm-hmm.
But again, out of 5 stars, I would give this a solid 4 stars.
And you and I kind of differ a little bit on this. I've read quite a few issues of Eternals. And to give you a little bit of background here, Jack Kirby, who was one of the fathers of Marvel Comics. In fact, depending on which side of the coin you fall on, there are a lot of people who are Kirby fans that will tell you that Kirby was really the one who came up with the majority of the creative stuff when it came to Marvel Comics. I don't know where you fall on it, Dave. A lot of people credit Stan Lee with the majority of the stuff.
You know, here's what I believe. Stan Lee, I think, was integral in concepts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the artists, Steve Ditko and Kirby and those really were the ones that took the concept, the thought, and made it flesh and blood.
Yeah.
So I've always thought that they deserve much more credit. But you also can't deny the fact that, unlike DC, where, you know, each superhero is created by somebody different, Stan Lee was the driving force behind most of the characters that we now know. And then
Right. You've
got, you know, the artists who really push these creatures and creations into life. So I think that they should all be held as in high regards.
Well, I think the point where the wheat is separated from the chaff really came to light in two projects with Kirby. One was the Eternals. The other was the New Gods over at DC. And the New Gods were, in retrospect, were a much better project. You know, you're talking Darkseid, Mr. Miracle, all these other villains and heroes that really were used properly in later years after Kirby retired and went away by other creators and artists. And then you have the Eternals, which was like Kirby's version of trigonometry. Some people got it, a lot of people didn't. And it was really hard to understand as a comic. It didn't make a lot of sense. It was a lot of vague theories and vague stories, and it was kind of hard to grasp, and it kind of went away. I mean, Marvel kept it around longer than it probably should have been, but they did it as a kind of a respect piece to Jack Kirby. With that being said, it was a bold stroke for Marvel Films to say, we're going to make a movie out of it. Now, it was redone in later years as a comic with a new concept. And I was thinking, okay, they're going to take this newer concept and bring it into the movie, which they kind of did. They took some of the newer concept and interloped it in. And Chloe Zhao was a director of the movie, and she really did kind of interlope some of the newer concepts with, well, still remaining true to Jack Kirby's vision. With that being said, I will give her this. She did a brilliant job of making it somewhat understandable, because the original comic to me is still not understandable. You can shake your head all day long and go, I don't get this, and throw it away. To me, I still found there to be some plot points that you just are kind of thrown out there, you know, and I enjoyed the movie. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was a very good movie. But there are still some points where I went, where do we just go, and why are we here, and why are we trying to explain this when 20 minutes down the line, you know, it's not, you know, we're making a point, but the point is relevant or irrelevant. You know, it may make sense, but it may just be a little plot point that we may or may not even have to jump into. So it was kind of like, okay, that's fine. We could take it or leave it. But all in all, it was a good movie. It just, to me, was one of the lesser Marvel movies that, you know, I think we probably could have left this one be, you know?
That's why I said I have to, I'm taking this as a standalone.
Yeah.
Trying to just take it outside of the Marvel movie context to see where it plays in the future. But now, just trying to enjoy it for just a standalone.
I see where this could tie in, though. And without spoiling anything, I really do think it's going to tie in the next wave of films.
Yeah, obviously, sure.
Yeah, it's not going to have a lot to do with the remaining wave of films, but the next wave of films, it's going to have a heavy tie in, and you're probably going to see some of the characters in this film start interloping into the next wave, put it that way. So this film will become integral into that wave of films. So in that, this is an important movie to see, put it that way. So with that in mind, I still give it a 3 out of 5. I still think it's a good movie to see. It's just you're going to have to not read too deep into it. Don't think you're seeing a lot of deep things being thrown at you, because otherwise you'll lose yourself completely. I'll put it that way.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
So Tim says 3 out of 5. I say 4 out of 5. Either way, it's an enjoyable film, just not maybe living up to some of the hype and expectations, which again is I went into the movie with no expectations, but I felt that same way when I entered my foray into the Marvel Universe. I could give a shit about Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. They were three of the most bland characters to me in the comic books, and the Marvel Universe movies made them fascinating and interesting. So I've appreciated what they've been able to do with characters I would have thought were second or third tier characters all along.
I really thought Marvel was in trouble when they went in without Spider-Man and the X-Men and the Hulk, for that matter. I mean, the Hulk really didn't belong to Marvel when they first went in to do this whole studio thing. So I thought they were in major trouble, but I'm pleasantly surprised with where they've gone over the past. What has it been now? 12, 13, 14 years,
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've done an amazing job and had some creative storytelling and amazing direction. I just, you know, when they started pulling out characters like Doctor Strange and the Eternals, and I went, ooh, wow, we're really getting in Black Panther. I thought we're really getting deep into the lexicon. And, you know, how are you going to manage to make these entertaining? I was so pleased with Black Panther. I thought that movie was amazing. And, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but in the comic book, they just killed off Doctor Strange. Did you know that?
No, because I haven't really read comic books in 20 years now. So
it's they just did that this month. So I'm wondering, and it'll make an amazing movie if they do this, which I think they're probably going to. But because the story is quite interesting, and I'll make this really quick because I know we're short on time. We got to get to stuff. But in the comic, Doctor Strange actually gets his hands back. You remember he got in that accident with his girlfriend. She dies, And that makes him go into the mystic arts and study the mystic arts, right? Well, he somehow gets the ability to use his hands back again. So he goes back into doing surgery, yet he's still a master of the mystic arts. So he's balancing two careers. Well, in that, he kind of lets his guard down a little bit, and one of his enemies comes back and catches him off guard at his home and kills him with a mystic dagger. But you never see the face of the enemy, and that's where the story begins. And what happens? Weird. Yeah, what happens is when Doctor Strange dies, all these mystic protections that he has around the Earth start to fall down. So everybody is on alert. The Avengers, every hero on Earth is on alert because basically the entire world goes to shit. I mean, everything from every border around the universe falls, and all these mystical creatures start attacking the Earth. And that's where we go from there. So that would make an amazing movie. But I think that will probably get picked up. And I mean, eventually, like in wave 14 or something like that of Marvel movies, you'll probably see that. But
when Benedict Cumberbatch decides he wants to step down in 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Either one.
Exactly. Yeah. When they started dipping into those lexicons, I thought that can't be possibly interesting in the slightest, but they've done some really cool things. So yeah, I think, but the one I'm looking forward to is the Fantastic Four. I think Marvel will do an actually somewhat interesting, riveting Fantastic Four movie.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back into some supernatural news. A Maryhill couple has been left gobsmacked. I don't know what the hell that means. I think that means like head to forehead, like what? After catching a UFO on camera. We've seen some strange objects, both floating and stationary in the city, but this one has really got us scratching our heads. What do you think this could be, is what the article asks. We've seen a lot of strange sights over the last few days. The Loch Ness Monster being dragged from the Clyde and arrested. People in suits with giant fish heads, you know, just to name a few. But one sight, which has left us actually scratching our heads, was sent to us by a reader who believes they've seen some kind of UFO. Lindsay Curry got in touch with this website, the Glasgow Live, got in touch with Glasgow Live to say her boyfriend filmed a very strange object above his flat in Maryhill. She said it was flying across the sky, going from the northwest of Glasgow towards the southwest. And it's very weird looking. It is I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. It's a very bizarre looking, it almost looks like a person in a costume, but it's like hovering in the sky. And we will have this news article up at darknessradio.com. Just click on the news tab. Now, we love a bit of potential UFO spotting, but even we can't figure out what the hell this could be. Our instinct is to say it's either a person in a Christmas tree suit, which is a pretty fair assessment of the image, or a person on an out-of-control hoverboard, or maybe some extraterrestrial being stopped by to see what's happening at COP26. Stranger things have happened. It is a weird image, but yeah, it does kind of look like somebody dressed in either a crazy glue costume flying in the sky or a Christmas tree. I got nothing. It is a weird, weird image.
I would say Christmas is like 35 days away. So, you know, why not a Christmas tree costume?
That's true. So I got this next story sent in to me from my son, Nathan.
Okay.
He's in the army. He's like, Dad, what do you think of this? And it's from Reddit. And it's called The Witch in the Fort Benning Land Nav. This little article says, so I went through the 22 weeks of infantry OSUT, and the worst experience I had was the individual night land nav. I was in the middle of the swamp around 2 a.m. looking at my map. Suddenly, every hair on my body stood on end. My red light flickers. I turn it off and start looking around when I spot the silhouette of a woman in what I can only describe as a pioneer's outfit. I looked away for a second and looked back. Nothing. I told myself that I was just seeing shit. I picked a direction I thought was good and started walking. Then I start hearing the crunching and breaking of leaves in rhythm with my steps behind me, as if someone was matching my pace. And my hair stood up again. I stopped and looked behind me. There was nothing. I continued walking, and the same thing happened. Looked again, still nothing. I decided that 3 points was plenty for tonight and started booking it. As I'm running, I can clearly hear and see something jumping from tree to tree, keeping pace as I cut through the woods, sprinting full speed, I might add. I'm not the fastest, but at the time, I had a 13:45 and have 5 second 40-yard dash. Nothing could have moved that quickly through those trees. I make it to the starting point, turn in my shit, sit on my gear. Another guy comes running in about 15 minutes later. Now, we still have 2 hours left at this point, so it makes no sense why he would be in a hurry. He does his shit and sits next to me. He turns to me and says, "Dude, did you have a point in the swamp?" And I gesture at my boots and pants. "Yeah, can't you tell?" "Yeah, sorry. But anyway, did you see a woman in a pioneer outfit?" "Yeah." I was writing down my points info when my light started flickering and I heard something in the tree above me. I looked up and saw her sitting in a tree up above the point, just staring down at me with lifeless eyes and an empty face. I ran faster than I ever have and didn't stop till I got here. It's at this point where the guy sitting behind us leans forward. "You all saw her too?" We nod. I started walking into the swamp when I saw her sit up out of the water and slowly turn to look at me. I froze, and like I only broke out of it when the lieutenant walked up behind me and asked what I was looking at. I looked at him and pointed, but when I did, she was gone. No noise, nothing. This kid was an honest dude, and I could tell by the look in his eye, he wasn't fucking with us. I want to know if anyone else has had an experience with this entity. So that's a pretty freaky story. These are three military guys that all saw the same thing during one of their excursions, right?
Yeah.
Now, one guy responds, "Bro, I'd be willing to bet anything it was one of your drill sergeants just fucking with you. When we did land nav, one of my drills had gone to sniper school and wore a ghillie suit and snuck up on guys just to screw with them." The guy responds and said, "Well, this was my first assumption, but my DS did shit at night to fuck with us. Dude was built like an ox, but silent as a ninja. But this thing was jumping through the trees and keeping pace with these guys running." So, first of all, if that's one of their drill sergeants, this dude should be Captain America.
Yeah, if it's your drill sergeant, you would think he'd want to come up silently behind him and kind of spook him or grab him real quick. Right. And yeah, not be loud.
What drill sergeant's jumping tree to tree following you along at your same breakneck speed through the woods?
Yeah, no. Huh.
Now, another person writes, "Nighttime hallucinations are some real shit. During land nav, no matter what base or continent I'm on, I eventually get to a point where I hear footsteps following me. I inevitably see something coming at me in the dark, and I feel like I'm being watched. No matter where. Under nods, I've hallucinated seeing entire enemy patrols walking up on my location, crocodiles crawling towards me, and even a person standing right next to me, mouthing words at me. That being said, I've also seen shit that couldn't have been a hallucination because other people around me saw the same thing, like silhouettes sprinting through a mount site at 1 a.m., 5 minutes after the live fire finished. No one alive should have been left there after what we threw at it. Drums and chanting in the mountains of Hawaii and footsteps coming upstairs in an empty building while we were on fire guard. Just pay your respects, don't ask questions, and get out of their territory. You'll be fine." Right? This guy then writes, "I had an experience." So this is kind of an interesting article because it's also Parashare, right?
Right.
"I had experience in basic during individual night land nav. I'm not sure where you experienced the witch, but I was at the Yankee North course during the 22-week oust course. Around 2 or 3 a.m., I had been to most of my points and was walking a hardball on the edge of the boundary. As I was walking, I realized that I was hearing footsteps, maybe 10 meters in the wood on the out-of-bounds side. At first, I thought it was just an animal, no big deal. A few steps later, I was still hearing these footsteps. The problem was, they were keeping pace with me perfectly, but I would only hear a step maybe every 4 or 5 of my step. That suggests that whatever was walking along my side was huge. My heart started racing at that point, so I decided to pick up the pace. I started walking very fast, and the footsteps never lost pace. I started jogging and they were still 10 meters away. I started sprinting, and they were still landing every four of my steps off to my left. I never got a good look at what the entity was, nor did I have any intention to do so. I just kept moving and kept my eyes forward due to a sense of pure fear and dread. I was nearing the turnoff for my last point, but decided I'd be better off just skipping my last point since it was so close to where I am, and I kept running until I got back to the start point. When I sat down, I asked a few of the guys if they walked the hardball at the edge, and two of them said they did. I asked if they heard anything strange, and they described exactly what I had happen. The hair on the back of my neck rose, and I didn't sleep well out there, even though there were 200 of us. Our experiences were not the same, but I never saw what was hunting me, so maybe it could have been related. Either way, there is a lot of very strange activity in those Georgia woods. That's creepy, huh?
It is creepy because, you know, I mean, unlike here in the north, like in the north, you know, this past weekend was deer hunting opener. So when you sit up in a tree and it's dark, it was different this weekend because we had the time change Saturday night. So it was dark Sunday morning. It wasn't Saturday morning so much when you went out into the woods. But you can sit up in a tree, and if you're going out into the woods, you can hear things crash up above you in the trees. And it could be squirrels, or it could be, as you can attest to, when we were in Winona, you could hear bats going from tree to tree. So you do hear things crashing around above you and on the forest floor. So you kind of have your eyes open just to see what's around you and what's going on around you. In the South, there's a little different, animal species running around than there is in the North. In the North, you kind of can tell, and like the smallest animal you might see running around might be a bobcat, especially, you know, like in different areas of
Minnesota. Yeah, but what these guys are experiencing aren't just animals, man. There's something stalking these guys. Dude, that's their job. They're military guys, and they're out there. They know the difference, right, between an animal stalking them and something else.
Well, yeah. But I guess what the point I'm getting to is, you know, when you hear something running from tree to tree with them, you don't quite know what that is that's going with you. That's what I'm saying is, you know, you and you're not exactly wanting to stop either, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to tell, you know, I mean, you can sit and debunk all day long. You could say, well, you know, I mean, in like say the Florida, Georgia area, it's rare, but you could say you had a black cat coming after you, you know, from tree to tree. You don't want to think of that.
I've got one more ghost story from Fort Benning here, too.
Sure, go ahead.
Before we move on as well. Yeah. One of the other people write in and they say, I know another ghost story on Fort Benning. I was the PMO, the Provost Marshal's Office, ops officer at the MP station back in 99, which is located on Wold Avenue. It was an old correctional facility, MP office space, long closed. It's a two-story building plus a finished basement with jail cells. But while I was there, it was remodeled and turned over to CID. And the MP company HQ. One day, this old retired MP visited us, and we took him next door where he had worked. He told us that during the Vietnam War, the lieutenant that was charged for murder in the My Lai massacre was detained there. If you don't know the dark story about the Army's history, you can read about it here, and he gives a link. And again, this whole thread will be in our news section at Darkness Radio. Anyway, the lieutenant's court-martial was held on Fort Benning, and he was kept in the basement of that building in one of the cells. That's the backstory. Years later, when this visiting retired MP was working in that building, a military prisoner in one of the cells in that basement started screaming, causing him, the MP, to run and rush down there. The prisoner said a floating-like vision of a man appeared across the room and started moving toward him, then passed through the bars before disappearing in his face. The prisoner was so visibly shook up that the MPs agreed to relocate him, where he finally calmed down. Later, he and other MPs started hearing human-like noises in the basement, along with the sound of keys rattling. They ended up not putting anyone else down there and stopped using it because so many MPs were reporting incidents. I'm not one to really believe in ghost stories at all, but when you hear an eyewitness report like that, it really does stick with you, as there was no doubt in that MP's mind that that building was haunted. Ah, good old Fort Benning. So there you have it, kids. Interesting stories. I'm trying to find out for my son. He said that he knows some kids that went through that same excursion and claim to have seen things. So he's talking to them. I'm going to try to find out more about that this week. And if I'm allowed to share, I will in an upcoming episode. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more of the best in paranormal talk radio right after this.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
All right, Tim, as if that wasn't weird enough, our two unusual and bizarre Bigfoot encounters are next.
All right.
I love the headline of this one. Are you ready?
All right.
It says, Britain's Bigfoot? Question mark? Sorry, I hiccup there at the end, so it's not like, question mark? Britain's Bigfoot? Question mark?
And he's not a teetotaler either.
I was stalked by naked Tarzan-like ape man hiding in the trees with a knife in northeast England. That's right. A woman has claimed that she was once stalked by a Tarzan-like ape man hiding in the trees above her as she played with pals. The woman, known as Karen, of course, believes she came into contact with a mystical creature as a child in northeast England. She believes her sighting may have been the UK equivalent of Bigfoot, often reportedly sighted in rural mountainous regions of the U.S. Telling her story to investigators, Deborah Hastwell, on her BBR Investigations Cryptid Creatures podcast, Karen explained he was crouched in a tree. The main part of it that I definitely remember is I'd look up into his tree and there he was. And the only way I could describe him was he was neither a man nor an ape, yet he was both of those things. I can remember thinking two small thoughts as I was rationalizing it, and one of them was, oh, Tarzan. No, honey, Tarzan was all human. He just hung out with the apes.
Yeah.
She added, it sounds funny, but that was the only thing I'd ever seen that was up in a tree crouched, especially holding something in his hand, because I believe he had some kind of, I don't know, maybe it was a knife or maybe it was just a stone or something. And also, I remember thinking, young man, but I knew that he didn't look like any man I'd ever seen. Despite these hazy memories, Karen described the Bigfoot as naked with long, dark, bushy hair. She said, I knew there was dark body hair and a dark body. And I know that he was naked, but I can't remember seeing any private parts. But I know he was crouched, so I don't know if that covered certain areas. I remember really dark eyes, really intense dark eyes. But the thing that really stood out was what I was seeing was an ape man, and I'd never seen it before. It was something totally different. I remember feeling terror and running away, but at that point, I ran away where the girls were. Alleged sightings of Bigfoot have baffled adventurers for years, with a number of people claiming to have captured the mysterious creature on camera. In August this year, an alleged Bigfoot sighting was reported at Whitewater Canyon in the U.S. after a man took spooky pics appearing to show a hairy ape-like figure crossing a river. Other suspected sightings have included a figure with human limbs covered in black fur in the woods in Mississippi. Another saw creepy footage of a bear-like Bigfoot wandering through the Canadian wilderness. And yes, there are links to each one of those stories, the photographs, the videos, and more. And if you want to see them, just go to darknessradio.com, click on the news tab, and you'll find it. And then, Tim, our truly bizarre story of a Bigfoot causing a flat tire in Montana. Okay, we get it. Not everyone believes in Bigfoot or Sasquatch, but a lot of people do. And a lot of people have claimed to actually see this hairy ape in person. Bigfoot hunters claim that Montana is the perfect habitat for a Sasquatch. With wide open spaces and a small human population density, Bigfoot can thrive in Montana. The Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization recently compiled data of all the reported sightings of Bigfoot in the United States. Their data shows which states have most sightings and which states are more likely to have a Bigfoot sighting compared to the population of your state. Bigfoots avoid high-density populations, so even if there are more sightings in a state, a larger population in any area might scare him away from sightseeing spots. You want to check out the more desolate parts of the dense forest to try to see one for yourself. Montana averages 51 Sasquatch sightings every year. Judging by the population, that means you have one in a 20,000 chance of seeing Bigfoot in person. And it turns out Bigfoot may be just a little closer to civilization than we think. Recently, a tire shop in Kalispell got a report of a Sasquatch causing a flat tire. It was a tire to one of their loaner vehicles that they give customers getting service done on their vehicles. A customer returned to the shop with a spare tire on. The customer told the tire shop that Sasquatch had caused the car to have a flat. And upon further investigation, the customer was not lying.
Customer states, their right rear tire is flat because of a Sasquatch. I personally don't believe in Sasquatch, but you know, this is Montana, so there's a lot of crazy people out here. The right rear, so they got the spare on, so I'm guessing they're... There. Oh, there's their other tire. Oh. Well, I'll be damned. That's Sasquatch. High-grade metal Sasquatch. God, I don't even know how it got in there. Whoa. That's cool.
So it was an actual, like, Sasquatch car plate. That image of Patty walking with her arms astride and her legs spread out. Somebody had like an iron version of it on their car that must have fallen off and it punctured this wheel, Tim. So there you go. There's your Bigfoot causing a flat tire story.
There it is.
I promised bizarre Bigfoot encounters. There you have it.
There you did.
Uh-huh. Well, I like to live up to my promises with this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tim, I know you're a fan of cricket. No, I don't mean Jiminy. I mean the sport. And Freddie Flintoff, I remember you having posters of him up everywhere in college.
Boy, did I ever.
Yeah, Freddie Flintoff, the cricket legend, was so terrified by the ghost that he refused to sleep alone. According to a paranormal investigator, Colin Simmons, Freddie Flintoff was supposedly so terrified by a ghost in a haunted Cornwell hotel that he refused to sleep in a room by himself. A ghost search terrified Freddie Flintoff to the point where he refused to sleep in that room. The 43-year-old cricket legend went ghost hunting at a haunted guest house in Bodmin, Cornwall. The event's host, paranormal investigator Colin Simmons, recounts how the former England captain reacted. Freddie was terrified, he claimed. During the ghost hunt, there was some activity. He liked it, yet he was terrified. He was staying in one of the hotel's most haunted rooms, Tim. He stated that he would not be able to stay in there alone, and I was afraid he was going to die of an heart attack. I ain't sleeping in that room by myself, he continued insisting. He enlisted the help of a buddy to sleep in the room with him on the floor. The next morning, he was okay. Flintoff was regarded as one of the best all-rounders in cricket during his career. He played 79 times in Test cricket, scoring 3,845 runs and taking 226 wickets. 226 wickets, Tim!
Wow.
I don't know what any of this shit means. I could be saying that he scored 5,000 gabanders and was known to take a kaplatz right in the gibbet lob. And people wouldn't know if I was telling the truth or not, because nobody knows what cricket is.
Well, that's impressive. Well, then don't say that. Don't say nobody knows.
Just, well, Freddie knows.
Yeah, Freddie knows. Yeah,
Freddie knows.
Yeah. Not that Freddie.
Oh, wrong Freddie.
That Freddie wouldn't be able to play cricket because his nails are too long.
Wow, you are so racist. Just because he's got long nails, you're going to assume he can't play cricket?
It's hard to hold the bat.
Oh, how crazy is that, huh?
Yeah.
All right, we've got more to tell. During a ghost search, an evil entity slashed a cross into my friend's back. I was terrified. That's this story that we're about to go into, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Everyday paranormal explorer Jade deals with ghosts, spirits, and haunted places. Even she was startled. That's a even is the way they start the sentence, Tim. Even she was startled. Or maybe it was even she was startled.
Right. Even she was startled.
Yeah, I got to put the right emphasis on the right syllable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even she was startled when an evil ghost slashed a cross into the back of one of her friends. With Halloween approaching, this was, of course, a week or so ago, many individuals will be scaring their loved ones with frightening costumes, pranks, and stories. For paranormal adventurer Jade, though, ghosts, spirits, and haunted houses are commonplace. Since launching her online ghost club 2 years ago, the blonde beauty, who was born in Scotland but now resides in the United States, has been ghost hunting. In an exclusive interview with Brinkwire, she said that following a terrifying incident recently, she too became spooked out and changed her mind about the spirit realm. Jade claimed that she was with some pals and saw an abandoned chapel in Los Angeles during her previous inquiry. Jade exclaimed that she'd heard eerie stories about the site even before she entered, which is why she wanted to explore it, Tim. The residents had visions about the location and that there was a woman in there, she explained. They were getting signals in their dreams from loved ones who had died away, telling them not to go in there, says the narrator. As soon as Jade walked through the church, things, well, they took a scary turn. She explained, I had a cameraman that I brought to my investigations. He's a skeptic, to be sure. But we hadn't been in there 5 minutes when he said, Jade, my back is killing me, and asked if I could check it. When we lifted his wee shirt, we noticed a large scratch on the back that was deep and red. With cameras looking in every direction and him carrying a massive gear in both hands, there was no way he could have done it himself. Jade stated that she asked him if he wanted to continue and that his answer was, aye, that I do, lassie. However, the strange events didn't stop there. We went into the priest's house for maybe 2 minutes at most, and he says, my back is still burning. When I removed his top, I noticed three more scratches, one of which looked like a cross, like a crucifix. He started to lose his mind. He didn't look like himself. He became quite ill, and he was spacing out. I needed to get him out of there because I was afraid that if we waited any longer, it might lead to a possession.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Aye, lassie. I'll continue. That's the way I see him saying it, at least. Two ghosts live in our house. One threw scissors and other predicted my baby's sex. That's what this story starts off with, Tim. Teachers Lainey Clark, 34, and Ben Hubbard, 22. Wow, welcome to Cougar Town. Went viral with their TikTok haunted house videos, and now their ghostly lodgers are famous. Lainey Clark says, I always hoped that spirits existed, but never saw anything until my mom died. I was in my early 20s, and soon after she passed, she came to me in a dream and said, I'm here to tell you, I'm okay and I'm happy. It was so real, and I've felt settled ever since, knowing she's not suffering anymore. I met Ben when I was 31, having just left my husband of 13 years. We were teaching in the same school and bonded immediately. After I had given him a telling off for not doing his job properly, that is, we moved in together 3 months later in the summer of 2018. Somebody has mommy issues. Our little house was perfect, but odd noises kept us up at night. We'd hear footsteps on the stairs, and despite it being a new build, we put it down to creaky floorboards and cooling pipes. Then subtle sounds became a whole lot scarier. One afternoon, Ben was out, and I was happily relaxing in the bath when I heard a male voice call my name. I froze. Maybe it was the old tenants. Nervously, I called out, "Who's there?" But the house was silent. I was shaken to the core, but I didn't tell Ben. We were still in the early days of our relationship, and I didn't want him to think I was a mad woman. But that all changed a few weeks later. We just finished dinner and popped the telly on, ready for a chill evening on the sofa. And out of nowhere, our pot plant shifted across the shelf in front of us and dropped to the floor. Wow, she just outs herself for having a pot plant. Thank you. We both stared in disbelief. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. We couldn't deny it now. Our house had a poltergeist. It shattered everything I felt I knew about life. Brought up in a strict Catholic family, I was taught that there's no such thing as ghosts. But now I know they're very real. Moving house costs a fortune. We couldn't afford to just jump up and leave. I felt like I couldn't talk about what I was experiencing, scared of losing respect at work. We had to come to terms with it and initially had no intention of sharing our story. Then, 2 years later, we decided to find others who were experiencing hauntings to help us feel less alone. This sounds like a kind of a veiled swingers ad, Tim. I'm not going to lie.
A little bit. I was getting kind of a weird kind of a what's the word I'm looking for? Skeevy vibe. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Turns out, though, they found out haunted houses are quite common. We started off scared of the ghost, but thought, well, if it's going to get us, it's going to get us. It's massively frustrating when we're woken up in the night or when a door slams in our faces, but we've learned to cope. There are actually two spirits in our house. Dave is always here. That's me. He's thought to be attached to us, not the house. He was the first spirit to reveal himself. Look at my bits and twigs. I don't know. Twigs? I guess it'd just be twig and bits. If you have twigs, that would be quite the issue. Yeah. The psychic told us his name and his frustration that we weren't acknowledging him, but things have calmed down. It's like living with an invisible housemate who's made it known that his favorite food is Spam. What? When we moved in, I had really bad headaches. We've recently discovered that Dave passed away in a car accident. He had a blow to the side of his head, the same side as my headaches. What are the odds the psychic picked up on that, Tim? The other spirit, Andy, is the late brother of the psychic medium who investigated our house. We think Dave and Andy have actually bonded. So the psychic comes in and drops off her luggage. This is me brother, Andy, and I can't have him with me anymore. He's yours. So we've got Cougar Town and then two gay ghosts that have decided to live together in perpetuity, Tim. My scariest moment was when Ben was away. I was startled awake to the sound of growling in my ear. I started recording on my phone to document what had happened and watched as a spirit lifted my hair up from my shoulder. Ooh, that was too close for comfort, she goes on to say. I sought advice from experts. What the hell just happened to my voice? I sought advice from experts. I think that's still trying to sneak out of me, Tim. I sought advice from experts who told me to set boundaries with the spirits. And it hasn't happened again. I never feel alone in the house, and I've come to love living with spirits. Sometimes it's so quiet, we wonder if they're gone. They're probably just out mantiquing, Tim. That would be my thought. Dave and Andy are out for a spot of tea looking at antiques for the ghost home that they're building together.
Mm-hmm. Mantiquing?
Mantiquing. That's what I call it. When like Jeff Belanger and I go to old antique stores looking for cool stuff, we call it mantiquing.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't explain why we're holding hands, but why should anything explain that to him? It's just two men that love each other, holding hands in an antique shop.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Using a Ouija board, I asked Dave and Andy if they'd protect our unborn baby. They said yes. Dave was convinced the baby would be a boy. We recently found out the gender at the scan, and he was right. Well, I mean, He had a 50-50 chance, good old Dave.
Yeah, it's not tough. No.
People probably think we're absolute idiots, that we have demons in our house and we're putting our unborn child at risk, but there's no heaviness, no bad vibes here. There's life beyond death, and that's all I've ever wanted to hear. Do you think, what would you do if you're like, why don't you become my son, Dave? Enter this baby and I'll name this baby Dave.
Huh? Pardon me. How did that go again?
Enter this baby, and I'll call him Dave.
You leave that baby alone.
I'm just saying that might. I wonder if Dave could be reincarnated as their child.
Oh, reincarnation.
Yeah. I remember seeing shadows out of the corner of my eye or feeling something watching me in my own home, but I was a skeptic. I wouldn't believe it was a ghost, let alone two of them. When objects started moving in the house, I was terrified. I'd seen the Conjuring movies. I thought we were going to die. Soon we were coming home to a pigsty, our possessions thrown around in a mess, so we decided to put up motion-activated cameras to capture Dave and Andy in action. One day I watched a pair of scissors fly out of the kitchen drawer. I don't want to think about what would have happened if we were there at that time. A few weeks later, I woke up to use the loo. That's the bathroom, Tim?
Yeah, I'm
familiar. I looked up to see the outline of a man standing right in front of me. My jaw hit the floor. I was definitely awake and my mind was in overdrive. Could it be real? Could it? We speak to Dave and Andy using a spirit board and ghost hunting apps. They're the budget options, but it's not cheap chatting to ghosts. Dave loves winding me up. I was alone one day playing FIFA and saw something move out of the corner of my eye. I leapt up and left the house. Lainey came home hours later to find me sitting barefoot on the doorstep looking sad. I feel way more comfortable when Lainey is with me. Most people say our house feels happy and calm, but a few friends hate it. A mate offered to house sit while we went away. A few hours into our journey, he rang up to say he'd heard footsteps walking across the room. In the wee early hours, he rang again saying, "I've posted your keys through the door. I'm leaving." Apparently, he'd been lying in bed when the duvet was pulled away. That was the final straw. He bolted and has not been back since. Oh, Dave and Andy, you are tricksters.
Yep.
Silly, silly tricksters. Just leave the Cougar Town people alone, would you please? Let me see. This looks like a good story to go to next. You know who Katie Price is, right, Tim?
Of the Price family?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Troubled Katie Price has been hit with a repossession order, Tim. For her $1.35 million home she believes is haunted. Sources say she's failed to repay a debt of more than £500,000 on the property, dubbed the Mucky Mansion. That's not a very nice name. And Katie, 43, who was declared bankrupt back in 2019, faces losing the house if she cannot stump up the cash to pay off her debtors before a repossession hearing. The model and TV star admitted to once calling in an exorcist when she heard ghost noises in the 11-bed timber frame Sussex house after moving there in 2014. A land registry search for the property reveals owner Katie owes money to both Kensington Mortgage Company and solicitor Archfield Partners LLP. A source said last night Katie has failed to pay back the money she owes, and her mortgage company had no option but to issue this order. She was due to appear at a repossession hearing this week, but it will now most likely be rescheduled for a date in January, Tim.
Mm.
A date in January. No! What a weird story.
Yeah.
A spokesperson for Katie said her house is not being repossessed. Thank you for that, spokesperson. It's always good to know that.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 Let's talk about a cam girl, Tim.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, this is the kind of story Tim loves to hear. Cam girl horrified as she spots paranormal activity behind her during a sexy show. Paranormal activity is not uncommon, as ghost hunters often find spooky spirits lurking in the shadows. But while we hear the stories, we still can't believe it could ever happen to us. At least that's what one model thought. Sonia Parker was in the middle of a call with a client when she was alerted that a mysterious shadow was behind her. The cam girl who works for Dream Cam had the situation occur about a week ago at around 11 p.m. during a live VR cam session. The model was told she had a shadow behind her shoulder. Yikes. Now all the details have exclusively been revealed to the Daily Star. Thank God, Tim. Well, Dreamcamp. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, thank God, yeah, because no marks in the background unless they're paying customers.
That's right. Yeah. Did you really see the shadow while you were talking to her, though?
Who said I saw anything? I don't know who that is that you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Dreamcam is believed to offer one of the best ever VR live streaming technologies. According to its kinky website, it turns desires into reality to allow clients to feel a difference. Do you notice the difference, Tim?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Dave.
When Sonia was working one day, never in a million years did she ever think she'd have company during her session. According to the cam girl, she didn't notice anything in the room, no movements or noises until the temperature dropped. Boing! She revealed the room got noticeably colder. My nipples got harder. I had to grab a sweatshirt to cover up after the conclusion of the cam show. So that explains why you said you were frozen stiff, Tim. It was very cold. Yeah. Since then, she's experienced drops in the temperature during cam shows over the past week. Sonia has even gone as far to change the room she's usually camming from in hopes to get rid of the issue. And in a screenshot from the cam session itself, you can see the black shadow hover behind her shoulder, Tim. Hover. Sonia was alerted by the shadow by a client from America. Told her that there was something there. The model claimed it kept darting in and out of focus, then even made more appearances during the private cam session. According to the bombshell, the situation lasted about 30 minutes. We've seen situations like this in the past. In fact, those eager to come face-to-face with a ghoul can visit 10 of the most haunted places in the UK.
My question is, what is her sweater doing anywhere around there?
Well, Tim, you know, everybody gets a day off.
On set?
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Hold on a second. I got to check something out here. Oh, there it is. There it is. That's funny. That's interesting. I just found an article of a friend of mine. I didn't even know she had an article out there. And boom, all of a sudden it's like, you know, like now they're saying that like your images from social media can just be used in advertisements for other things. Mm-hmm. As I finish the story, I scroll down and there's my friend's face. And I'm like, oh my God, are they using it for some like weird cam girl story? And no, it just turns out that there was an article about her.
Yeah.
Her headline, I was raised religious, but now I'm a witch who investigates ghosts and evil spirits. How about them apples? Nicely done. But we'll save that story for another day, Tim. See, I just did to the listeners what they always do to us.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, can I get like 2 minutes here?
Sure.
Okay. I'll make it real quick. Okay. So if you're sending in your stories by audio, which I greatly appreciate, please send your audio stories in if you'd like. But please, let's use your phone. Use your phone because your phone has a very good microphone on it. Let's not use the microphone from 1910 with the clicks and the pops that sound like your...
Well, hello, Tim, and welcome. Yeah. This is my 1910 voice recorder.
That sound like you're playing back a record from 1910? And by all means, listen to your own audio recording before you send it to us. So it,
creepers, creepers.
Yeah, that doesn't cut the story off before the end.
Yeah. Sometimes people, you send in recordings and the quality is so poor, we can't play them. We love you. Yeah. We love the fact that you're recording your stories, but once you've recorded it, just give it a listen.
Yeah.
And first of all, is it a story you would want to listen to? Second of all, is it the quality that you would want to listen to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I think that's important to know.
Cause I can clean up a lot and I can do it pretty quick, but if
and
you
let
send
me, tell you,
me
Tim cleans up very nicely, too.
I do. But if you send me a 7-minute story that sounds like it was recorded by Edison, that's going to take me about a week to do. Yeah. I'd much rather prefer you send me something that sounds like it's from this decade, maybe. And we can, I know I'm starting to sound like Dave, but something that's got some halfway decent audio to it and make sure it's a complete story. And My guidelines are not so stringent, but just some halfway usable audio, something that's more of a Class A EVP, and we can use it. So,
yeah. How about a pint and some Paranormal Activity, Tim?
Sure.
James Blunt says his pub is haunted. James Blunt reportedly believes his pub is haunted by a ghost. The Your Beautiful singer has shared a video on Instagram of a pint pot falling off the shelf at his West London boozer, the Fox and Pheasant, and it said the bar could be visited by the spirit of an old regular customer. A source told the Sun newspaper Bizarre column, James believes the ghost is that of someone who used to come in regularly because he always knocks over the same tankard. James and the staff reckon it must have been his favorite one. He appears quite regularly knocking things about and causing hazards. A few of the staff were actually freaked out when it first happened, but now everyone views the ghost as quite the affectionate friend. It keeps the staff on their toes because they have to be ready to catch the falling tankard at any time. It feels ridiculous, but there's just no explanation for it. The 47-year-old star bought the pub, which was first founded back in 1846, the year we began the show, Tim.
Yeah, back
in 2017, and after a year of renovation, they reopened the venue in 2018. Meanwhile, James doesn't seem scared by the prospect of his upcoming chart battle with Adele as they both release albums on November 29th. Then it goes on to promote his album, which I could give a flying flip about. I just want to talk ghosts. Sorry, James Blunt. We already helped you promote your haunted pub.
Let me remind you just a little bit here. Just a little bit about how irritating his main hit was. I'm just going to play a little bit in the background just to remind you why I cringe when you even say,
"My life is brilliant."
You remember this voice? Remember? Do you remember, Dave? Remember?
You're beautiful.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure.
Do you remember this?
I saw an angel.
Yes, I do, Tim.
Of Adam Shaw.
You know, Axl Rose Light.
It was what?
He's Axl Rose Light.
No. Axl had a better voice.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Axl Rose Light. He's got that kind of quavery.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
You're beautiful.
Beautiful. It's true.
You're beautiful. It's true.
Oh, good God.
But I know a lot of people that love that song. Love it. Love it.
Who? Name one person.
My daughter.
No, she doesn't. She's lying
to you. She does. How dare you?
She's lying to you.
Tim, we're coming into the end of this brief episode, and we've got a vehicle possession, Tim. A mechanic films a ghost locking and unlocking police car doors. This is the moment a puzzled mechanic declares a police car owned after shooting an eerie video of the car door being locked and unlocked by itself. An unnamed mechanic from Crestwood, Illinois, photographed the vehicle's service documents, claiming that there were paranormal activities that needed urgent correction. Then the car doors were locked and unlocked and locked and unlocked and locked and unlocked by themselves. Then the front lights remained on and the windshield wipers began to move, even though they were both off. An unnamed mechanic from Crestwood, Illinois, remains confused by the owned vehicle brought in with these eerie problems. Despite the car going to service center, the mechanic confirmed that he was able to fix all three of the owned problems, making the car road valuable again. Speaking in a video shot on October 26th, the man said, "Now let's see what's going on." After that, he can be seen approaching a white police car. In the white police car, you can see that the window wiper starts moving, even though the mechanic has confirmed that the internal switch is off, as well as the front lights of the car going on and off. The car then desperately unlocks and locks at the door as if it had its own heart, like Christine, who was owned in a 1983 horror movie based on Stephen King's book. Now, this is one of those articles, folks, I want you to go see. These are the kind of articles I've got to self-edit because it is such a poorly written article. So you can see how I have to do this and how sometimes I stop mid-sentences because of articles like this. The vehicle can be seen desperately moving back and forth with the windshield wipers, even though they are turned off. Despite the eerie event, auto technicians said they were able to fix all three separate issues to fix the police car and get it back onto the road. He added, I work for a company that serves law enforcement agencies. The vehicle was brought to us with many problems that seem to be happening all on their own. We took a video of it when it started locking and unlocking by itself, but we were able to solve all three issues. So it just keeps repeating sentences, but in different order throughout this entire article. Mm-hmm. And they keep using the word owned as though it's, I don't even know what the use of it is for, Tim. I'm being honest with you. Mm-hmm. Our final story though, Tim,
mm-hmm.
our final story is here, and it is a 5-in-1 news story, Tim. Not only is this a news story, but it includes 5 parashare stories regarding the oldest hotel in West Virginia, haunted by several ghosts. Parkersburg, West Virginia, nestled into the downtown Parkersburg area, the Blennerhassett Hotel was built in the late 1800s. Despite several setbacks over the years, fires, floods, and major renovation, the hotel is still open for guests to enjoy. With all the memories many locals have of the hotel, it's no surprise that the hotel also has its fair share of ghost stories. The hotel was named after Harmon and Margaret Blennerhassett, but the ghosts reported at the hotel are generally from the industrial area. Or era, rather. Guests and staff have said that there have been children riding tricycles, vaudevillians, men wearing top hats and bowler hats. That's just so cool because it tells about the history of the town through ghost stories, said Jason Burns, a West Virginia storyteller. Because you've got the colonial era on the island with Margaret, and then you've got the industrial area on the mainland with the hotel. So here's Jason Burns telling the ghost story of the woman in the elevator.
This hotel was built during the oil and gas boom era. There were once 11 hotels here in Parkersburg, and we're the last to still be standing. And the Blennerhassett Hotel is the oldest operating hotel in the state of West Virginia. We opened our doors May the 6th, 1889, so there's been a lot of people pass through these doors throughout the years. I get questions a lot of times on the historical tours about the supernatural. We have had a number of ghost hunters that have been here within the past year or so. And if guests and folks want to hear about the ghosts and paranormal, we're not going to hold back. We're going to tell you the truth, and we're going to tell you the stories that we know. And, you know, the stories that the staff have experienced. Because after so many years of hearing all these ghost stories and paranormal experiences, I think some of the stories do add up. And I'm living proof to be able to tell you a few of those stories that I've experienced here over the years. A lot of times, a lot of folks say, well, I don't believe in ghosts and I don't believe in paranormal. Until you have something happen to you, you really don't, probably wouldn't. I was skeptical until I had my first experience. Well, we're here off the main lobby in the hotel, and over here we have our two sets of elevators. And one thing, a lady has been seen over the years getting in and off of the elevators. Keep in mind, everything from this wall back is all 1985 renovation. So one day I had a man that was delivering here, and he had never been here before. I told him to come through these doors and get on the elevator and go downstairs and I would be right with him. Well, I finished up, decided to go ahead with him since he'd never been here. I thought, well, I'll make sure and he knows where he's going. So I came through the doors, and before the elevator door shut, he stuck his hand out and I got on the elevator. I said, I'm gonna go ahead and ride down with you. And he looked over at me and the first thing he said, serious as could be, is this place haunted? And I said, well, why do you say that? And he said, well, he said, I've never been here before. He said, I just came through this set of doors over here and I was going to get on the elevator. He said, I caught the end of a woman getting on the elevator. And he said, before the door shut, I stopped it. And he said, I wanted to make sure I was getting on here with this load of delivery. And he said, I wanted to make sure I didn't hit her when I got on the elevator to see if I could ride down with her. And he said, there wasn't anybody on here. And so that's just one of the little stories that that people have seen, you know, over the years, the lady getting in and off the elevator.
Okay, maybe that story didn't have as much luster as I hoped it did, Tim. But don't worry, there's more stories. As a matter of fact, they have a tale of shadow figures that have been witnessed by several staff members. Let's go ahead and hear that about the Blennerhassett Hotel.
Hotel actually has different ghosts in it. Now, the Blennerhass Hotel is actually on the mainland. It's not in the middle of the river on the island. Blennerhass Hotel is in the middle of Parkersburg. And in the Blennerhass Hotel, there is a little boy who rides a bicycle or a tricycle through the halls, and they see him every now and then, and they'll hear laughter of children running around the building. And then sometimes they'll see a figure of a well-dressed gentleman from like the turn of the 20th century with, you know, a suit and tie, a little cravat, you know, something, and a top hat or a bowler, you know, and it's just like, that's just so cool, you know, because it tells about the history of the town through ghost stories, because you've got the colonial era on the island with Margaret, then you've got the industrial era on the mainland with the hotel where people were coming in and staying the night, you know, and having, you know, just having a good time in Parkersburg, you know, when you could come there and enjoy yourself for vacation, stay in this lavish hotel with your family and your kids, you know. And the in the museum, the Blennerhassett Museum, there's actually two giant mirrors. They're like Alice in Wonderland, mirror of Erised Harry Potter stuff. They're big and gold, and they reach floor to ceiling. And in these mirrors, sometimes there are, you'll be looking at them, or you'll pass by them, and there'll be figures in the mirrors looking back at you that aren't in the room with you. And one of them apparently is a vaudevillian guy who has the red and white stripes and the straw hat, and he dances and then vanishes in the mirror. So there's some interesting things going on in Parkersburg. But it's, if you think about it, that's all part of the history. There were acting troops going through there. Think about, if you have a 200-year-old mirror, how many people have passed by that mirror? How many people have looked into that mirror, combed their hair, fixed their face, you know, adjusted their hat, their tie, their shoes? You know, they've made funny faces. There's been hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people pass this mirror. You know, so it's very, it gives you pause when you're standing in front of something to go, wow, that's history right there. Because objects have power. And we sometimes don't acknowledge that, but they do. The whole fact of the matter is, when you think about a place that has so much history to it, and West Virginia has so much history to it, we've had a lot of things happen here. Some place that has a lot of history like this, it's going to have its ghosts. It's going to have its monsters, its people who are a little weird that they call witches. You know, a little bit of an outlier of society is what we've always been. And I think that's actually helped protect the stories. And that's why we have so many, is because we've always been kind of insular in some respects because of the mountains and geography, but other reasons too. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. If we can preserve our history and our heritage and our culture and keep that alive, you know, and realize that, you know, the future keeps coming and things keep happening, because, you know, Margaret would never have been able to predict that I would be here telling her story, you know, on video, because what's video? You know, but, you know, who knows in 200 years what's going to happen, you know, to any of us. But it's a way of putting yourself in history. It's a way of placing yourself in a specific time and finding not just that person you're reading about or that place you're reading about, but finding yourself a little bit too, because all people are basically the same animal. We've all got the same needs and wants and aspirations in our lives, you know.
All right. We've got one more tale. This is kind of weirding me out. These stories just aren't as good as I was hoping. I was hoping for a little bit more meat on the bone, but we'll go ahead and we'll listen to one more of these stories before we wrap up for the day. Tim?
You want the shadow figure story?
Yeah, let's go with the shadow figures. That's what we thought. Sorry, folks. We're playing the videos and they're jumping out of order and acting very weird. The article itself seems to be haunted, but don't worry. The entire article and all the videos will be up on our website, so you can go check it out for yourself.
Right now we're in the lower level of the hotel. We're down in the laundry area. And down here, as far as we know, laundry's been in the same location since 1889 when the hotel first opened. But throughout the years, especially the staff, have seen these black shadow figures, silhouettes of people coming through and out from this wall, right through the end of the dryers and the washing machines. And right over here, this was actually a doorway. There's still a set of stairs in here that go up to the bellman's closet that come out in the main lobby. But one of the staff seen the Black Shadow silhouette figure one day in here a few years back when she was working here. She now works here again. And she told me the story the other day. And she said he weighed about 300 pounds. She said he had on a long black trench coat. He had on a tall top hat. And it had a big fur collar. She was going into detail exactly. And he walked just like this. He came right through here. And just went, they just come straight through and then just disappear right over this direction. And so we've had a staff member here that's worked here for many years. He did back in the 60s, and he has seen these all throughout the years. All right, so here we are in the lower level of the hotel, and this hallway dead ends. You can see some of the original foundation stones. And the one time, the other experience I had here at the hotel was I had an experience with one of the shadow people, or the black shadow figures, the silhouettes of bodies. And it was about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I came through the break area, which is located right over this direction, and I looked up and I looked down this hallway, and I saw a black shadow figure. And the shadow figure actually turned the corner, went down this way, and went into the door of my office. And I automatically thought, why is there a server going in my office? Because they all wore black, and it happened so fast. But it turned the corner, came down here, and went right in here. But I had a staff member one day, a good staff member who's no longer here with us, but he actually told me, he said, one day, Adam, he said, I came out of the employee restrooms, which are down here at the end of this hallway, and he said, I walked past your office, which I'll just recreate. He said, I walked past your office, the door was open, I looked over, he said, I saw a man in period costume, and I stopped about here. And he thought, Adam's not here today. Why is there a man in his office? He backed up, he looked in my office, and there wasn't anybody in here. So my office is a hot spot, it seems like. But down here in the lower level of the hotel, we are in part of the original part of the hotel. So this is the areas of the hotel that the black shadow figures are seen.
Crazy, crazy stuff, folks. If you want more information about the hotel and want to stay there yourself, the phone number is on the article. All those news articles, all those photographs, including the cam girl, Tim, that you're familiar with. All of those articles,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Videos, shadow people are all up at darknessradio.com. Click on the news tab. That's it for today. Join us tomorrow. Hillbilly Horror Stories. Jerry Pauly, our guest, right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.
Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.